Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Thursday, a little bit of snow. There's some snow here. Boy, last night I went to bed late. Woke up. How are we looking? There was snow on the ground. I didn't expect that. So, and it's snowed on and off throughout the day, and I think everybody's getting a little taste of it. And it's going to just kind of flurry through here over the next couple of days, but we're going to survive, and then it's going to turn to rain. It's going to warm up a little bit, and well, we're all going to reconvene on Monday back here as we bring our show live from Miami down at the Convention Center. We're going to be down in Miami for Super Bowl 54 and bringing you all the fun, frivolity, pageantry, everything that is Super Bowl and Super Bowl week. And one of the guys that's going to be down there, we're going to talk to coming up here just momentarily, Boomer Esiason from CBS Sports, the NFL analyst. You see him on the CBS pregame show for the NFL, also on WFAN up in New York. And he was the former quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals and New York Jets for a short period of time. So we're going to hear from Boomer coming up here momentarily. I want to let you know our friends over at New Mail Medical. It's a new year, right? Everybody's looking for something new. Everybody's got something going on. We all have our New Year's resolution. But sadly, by February, as we creep in on February, most of them, they go by the wayside. And if you were one of the millions of men who struggled with ED, the erectile dysfunction, in 2019, come on. At least start out 2020 in the positive, right? You can turn your love life around for good. My friends over at Neumo Medical Center, they've got a 98% success rate treating guys with ED. That's huge. Where else are you going to get those kind of odds, right? You know, we talk betting every now and then. Come on, look at the odds on that. By the way, if you are looking for better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, more energy in 2020, they can help you out with that as well. Neumel can deal with the low T issues. All you got to do is go in and get your numbers checked. It takes you maybe 10 minutes. Otherwise, maybe you're like one of millions and billions that say, I'm going to lose more weight this year. I wonder why my tummy's leaking. I can't tell. Well, it's because it's not your tummy leaking. It's the appendage beneath it, but you just can't see it because the tummy's sticking out so far. So all you got to do is call Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That is the Neumel Medical Center. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Give them a shout. Medical experts over there, by the way, as well. So we'll talk with Boomer Esiason coming up here shortly. A couple things I wanted to deal with real quick as we get Boomer on. We had asked in the first hour about Mike Pettine, and Mike Pettine coming back to the program, going to hang out as the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, and this past year had some pretty good numbers defensively speaking. This one comes to us from Chad. Chad says, who made the decision to keep Pettine? Was it Matt LaFleur or was it indeed Mark Murphy? This is my issue. I never know who they're talking to. We know that they discuss things, but I believe Murphy shoved Pettine down the throat of LaFleur, and if I'm LaFleur, I would quit before I would take him on again. Why? Why? Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. First of all, why would you quit? You just had a 13-3 season. You'd be crazy to do that. And secondly, they always talk. We've talked about that. Mark Murphy made it very clear that they were all going to discuss things. It's not that he's making the decisions. It's just they were going to discuss things. So we'll talk about that stuff coming up here in just a little bit. But we're going to bring him in now, our friend of the program. We've talked to him many a times from CBS Sports, also a WFAN host in New York. I watched him growing up, had a chance to work with him a little bit at WLW years and years ago. Now he's huge and famous and a god among men. Boomer Esiason joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Boomer, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You remember those days?
I do. You don't. You don't remember me, I don't think, until we met in Minneapolis again. I had to leave because it was Furman and you and Collinsworth, and unless you all went off the cliff in Mount Adams into the river, there was no way I was getting a job full-time over WLW.
Well, you know, I moved out of there. Chris ended up going on to bigger and better things, and I don't... Whatever happened to Andy Furman?
Andy's still a friend of mine on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
How you been?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you. Give me your first of all your assessment of the way the season ended for the Green Bay Packers.
You know, I actually thought they had a really good season, and they matched up against the wrong team in the NFC Championship game. You know, 13-3, nobody expected that. I think that... you know, they got back to running the football, even though Aaron Rodgers attempted a lot of passes. He didn't, you know, throw for an inordinate amount of touchdowns. And I never really felt like the team was about him, although, you know, he's such a strong personality and such a great player. That's the first thing that you think of when you think of the Green Bay Packers these days. But I thought early on their defense played really well. I know they kind of wilted down towards the end. I thought they made some great free agent pickups. I think Darnell Savage was a great draft choice. There's a lot to build on there, but, you know, they ran into a buzzsaw with the San Francisco 49ers, and nobody wants to get run over for 220 yards or whatever it was. But, you know, at the end of the day, the 49ers are going to be tough for anybody to beat out there in Santa Clara. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for them to do what they did to Minnesota and Green Bay back-to-back to Kansas City down in Miami. But you just ran into a tough, tough team, and you were one of the top four teams in the league, and they certainly deserve to be there.
Everybody talks about the regression of Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I don't want to believe it, but I think to myself, if he has guys, additional guys to help Devontae Adams, that we see then that resurgence of Aaron Rodgers. It's very difficult. You know that. It's difficult when you got one really solid guy and some guys you just don't trust to be able to go and catch the ball or at least knock it down and not allow it to get picked off. So do you expect if they get a couple of good wideouts that we see Aaron Rodgers reemerge, so to speak?
Well, I always say, you know, we live in the salary cap era in the NFL, and the salary cap's going to go up $10 million. So whether it be via the draft, which is usually the best way to build a team, and this is the way the Packers have done it for many years until this past offseason, or you do, you know, you find another top wide receiver because you may be able to fit him under the cap, then I could see that happening. You know, the problem is when the quarterback is making as much money as Aaron is making or – you know, any of the top guys in the league are making, then there's going to be collateral damage throughout the roster. And then you have to sit down and you have to decide, okay, where are we going to spend our money? And spending it on Za'Darius and Preston Smith turned out to be a pretty damn good investment, if you ask me, just given what they did for the Packer defense this year, and, you know, especially in a pass rush situation. So it's a balancing act. You know, if Aaron is going to make that money, he's got to be the camouflage. In other words, he's got to, wherever there is a deficiency, he's got to make up for it with his ability and make players better around him. You know, it's interesting. I remember when Peyton Manning first got to Denver, he made all those players, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, all these players, the really great players, and they got big money in their next contracts, and then a couple of them weren't playing with Peyton, and everybody was wondering what the hell happened to him. Well, what happens is that, you know, all of a sudden they're not playing with that Hall of Fame quarterback. So I guess the real short answer is here, you know, they're going to try to add a piece or two to their wideout situation, maybe a tight end, but I wouldn't expect a lot of changes. They got a good offensive line, a great quarterback, a really good running game, and I'm sure that they still feel like they need to add to the defensive line to stop the run and get stronger in that area as well.
Did you see a regression in Aaron Rodgers' play this year?
You know, he didn't run as much as he has in the past. You know, maybe Matt LaFleur was trying to take some of the pressure off of him by running the ball more, even though he had over 560 attempts. I didn't see a lot of, you know, what I would say big plays that we're used to seeing. You know, that big third down play that he hit Devontae Adams against the Seattle Seahawks in the divisional round was kind of like vintage Aaron Rodgers, but he still has the arm. The ball still comes out of that hand significantly better than 98% of the quarterbacks in the league. He's got a unique touch and ability to throw the ball where he wants to. I think a good, healthy offseason and getting ready to come back next year, he still could be a top five quarterback in this league, even though his ratings may not show that.
I wanted to ask you specifically because everybody talked about him throwing off the back foot and when the pressure got in his face, his mechanics went to heck. that's kind of the way he made his living. But how difficult is that when you're 27 versus when you're going on 37?
Well, I mean, you know, my skills diminished when I was 37. Even though I could probably still have played at the age of 37, I decided to retire and go into television and radio. It's a little bit safer in terms of longevity and everything else. But then again, I wasn't making the money that these guys are making at the late stages in their career. So I probably would have stayed had I been making $25 million a year. But, you know, Tom Brady is 43 years old, and he is still a top-end quarterback. You know, Drew Brees is over 40 years old, and he is still a top-end quarterback. And I think Aaron can do that for at least another 4 years, especially if they're going to continue to emphasize the run with Aaron Jones and maybe some other running backs they'll pick up in the draft. I don't think anybody's going to go running back in the free agency market, simply unless you get a guy cheap that's, you know, on a bounce-back contract. But I think Aaron can still play at a very high level for at least the next 4 years. I mean, he seems like he keeps himself very healthy, and as long as he doesn't get significantly hurt on the field, I would say, look, he's going to be a top five quarterback for at least the next 3 years with a new young coach and an emphasis on the running game, and hopefully some more money spent in free agency for a wide receiver, maybe a backup tight end, and who knows if that defense will get a little bit better. I was actually happy to see that they kept Mike Pettine, and I know that there was probably a lot of pressure to get rid of him after the NFC Championship game, but in all reality, they ran into a buzzsaw and a very, very healthy defense for the San Francisco 49ers, which I think really set the tone of the game at the beginning of the game, and then they ended up losing simply because they couldn't tackle Mostert, and that was a problem. So you put those two things together, you have the score that you have.
Boomer, real quick before I let you go, give me a quick thumbnail sketch of Eli. Eli calls it a career, and still two Super Bowl rings to show for it, nowhere near the numbers of what Peyton had, but a pretty successful career in a very tough place to play, as you know.
Yeah, 117 and 117 career record. I think he had 12 playoff games. He had two magical, unbelievable runs. One of them, obviously, you know, took place in a divisional round against the Green Bay Packers up there against Brett Favre in I think it was like 20 below zero. But, you know, he had a kind of like an all-or-nothing career. When he was on, it was unbelievable. And he had two, like I said, incredible runs. The first one in 07 came out of nowhere. And I remember I took the radio show on WFAN the September of 07. And I think in the middle of October, people wanted Tom Coughlin fired and Eli Manning run out of town. And then all of a sudden, the second half of that year, they took off. They won a really ugly game up in Buffalo. They almost beat the undefeated Patriots in Week 17. And then, of course, they beat them in the Super Bowl. And that's where Eli makes that great throw at the end of the game. And he has two Super Bowl MVPs. So he's also the highest-paid player in the history of the league to the tune of $250 million in his career. God bless him. So he and Peyton can now ride off in the sunset together. I was suggesting maybe today on our radio show here in New York that maybe he and Peyton would take over Monday Night Football and do it in the booth for ESPN. I think a welcome relief for all of us.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Boomer, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate it. The one thing that may or may not make you happy is we discovered there's skyline in Fort Lauderdale when you go down to Miami. So
I'll be looking forward to it. Sounds great.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Boomer Esiason from CBS Sports, the NFL analyst, WFAN host in New York. And the former quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, also of the New York Jets. And like I said, I kind of was getting him and Chris Collinsworth coffee for a couple of years at WLW and doing part-time everything there. And I always said that day because people said, well, what brought you to Wisconsin? I said, I had two guys ahead of me. Unless they all went off the cliff into the Ohio River, I was not going to get that job, you know. And now who knew at the time that both of them were going to eventually leave for other pastures? But you know, Collinsworth still lives in Cincinnati and still happy there. And he was doing sports talk before he got the Monday or the Sunday night gig. And Boomer ended up moving away and taking over the gig in New York. He was always destined for New York, but he was still living there and was still doing radio there. And I thought, I'm not getting past these guys. So when the Packers came a calling, that's when I went. There you have it. 855. Thanks, Dan, for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, by the way. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk some baseball. John Heyman from Radio.com, our MLB Sports Insider, going to be joining us. He's going to be joining us coming up here shortly. Stay tuned for that. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Talk to Boomer Esiason. Boy, we had that was a hell of a discussion, and he was very honest without being, you know, nasty or anything, without name calling. I mean, he was straight up with Aaron Rodgers and talked about, you know, hey, when you make all the money, you got to figure other ways to be successful, because there's only so much with it. Now it's going to go up $10 million, and the Packers now have to cut some people, not bring people back, figure out ways to spend that money wisely, because once you make all the money, as other quarterbacks, and I've said this before, once you get, no quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl making more than 13% of the total salary of an NFL team. Never. It's never been done. And it's very tough to fortify all the positions when you're making all the money. So he just basically said, once you start making it, you gotta be better. You know, you gotta earn the money. So 855-830-8648. Hey, our friends over at Van Horn Automotive, they have got 3,500 plus vehicles on the lot. Really good people, new and used, 17 locations in Wisconsin, a couple of them in Iowa, 11 manufacturer brands, I think 12 now with the addition of Hyundai. But they have got unbelievable programs. Like what I'm going through right now, the 90-day test drive, I got a Hyundai Genesis, and they said, you know, hey, we got the 90-day test drive if you want to do it. I said, you know, you bet. I'll take a look at it. Absolutely. They lined up three or four different cars from different dealerships, and I just love the Hyundai. The Genesis is a whole different level of, you know, car. And, oh, my God, it's awesome. And then you get oil changes for life with a new purchase or a used purchase and commercial fleet programs for your business needs. I mean, whatever it is, they've got it, plus the different ways to buy. You can just go in, obviously. You can go to Van Horn Auto and start comparing different vehicles, plus you can go to Van Horn Direct, and they'll ship the car to you once you purchase it right there online. You don't even have to walk in. Go to VanHornAuto.com for all the information, because they really do it differently, and they do it via an employee-owned auto group, which means everybody has skin in the game and everybody wants to treat you right. That is our friends at Van Horn Auto. VanHornAuto.com. Go to VanHornAuto.com, where they care. They are family-born, but they are employee-owned. VanHornAuto.com. So when it comes to Mike Pettine, now there are his detractors. Andrew Hawkins, former wide receiver, explains why Mike Pettine is predictable as a coordinator.
I knew Shanahan was going to kick Pettine's ass. Let's just call it what it is. And why he did it in the first game as well is because I remember we would practice against the defense, and it was a weird, and we've actually talked about this before. It was weird as an offense going against our defense in that season, because – and the other seasons that Pettine was there, because their defense, they would game plan the offense for practice. So we weren't worried about, like, especially in camp in the offseason. It didn't seem like as much building towards when the season came around. They would script the practice to beat just the offense. So they weren't working on opponents and what they'll use in a season. They were game planning our specific offense, right? Which didn't make sense, because you know what we're running, essentially. And I remember Shanahan and the offensive coaches would say, if we played them in a game, we would kick their ass. But the difference is, we're getting ready for the season. We're not getting ready for tomorrow's practice, because we don't play our defense. They would say it all the time, because it would piss them off. Because we would throw interceptions or get stuffed. And the defense at practice would celebrate like we won a game. And the offense is like, dude, we're trying, like, you're not helping the team. You're not helping our offense get better. Why are you celebrating? You just won practice. Like, that's not going to help us. So now fast forward to now, where Shanahan knows that defense, again, almost as well as the guys calling the defense. They knew exactly how to game plan a Mike Pettine defense. And it was probably a lot of pent-up aggression from those days where they would celebrate in their face at practice in front of fans and camp trying to kick their ass in times when it didn't matter.
So that was on the Tomahawk podcast. Andrew Hawkins, by the way, does some stuff with Joe Thomas, who's the former Badger. Everybody knows Joe Thomas in his parts. So that's how they got in the discussion regarding Mike Pettine and the Green Bay Packers. So Shanahan, as he had mentioned, said that he knew it was very predictable. He knew what Pettine was going to do, but since they were practicing for their season, not necessarily against the defense, it was different, which is why when they finally got into a game situation, they figured it out and they ran a lot of misdirection and they ran a lot of things that basically confused Mike Pettine's defense. And when you went back and watched the All-22, yeah, there were some things they did that were very creative and you appreciated, but also there were some guys that just couldn't get off a block, you know, or they're doing guys one-on-one and their offensive linemen are in the secondary blocking up on Blake Martinez or Darnell Savage or, you know, you start to go through the list. So, you know, the Packers have some work to do. There's no doubt about it. They have some work to do. 855-830-8648. But Mike Pettine still remaining as the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. They've had some success. Can they now magnify that success, get it bigger and better this coming offseason? And it is, a monumental task. Speaking of that, come the offseason, it has been a tumultuous offseason for Major League Baseball. The commissioner has his hands full with a black eye of cheating. And does it go just to one specific team, or are multitudes now getting involved in this? Has technology become so rampant that it is predictable when it comes to baseball games now? And as a paying fan, does it require an act of Congress to now get involved and talk about fair play and the committees? Remember, going all the way back to the steroid issue, that was one of the problems, was that they said, hey, fans are paying good money to see a competitive baseball game that is not being swayed one way or the other. Do they now do this all over again if baseball doesn't clean its problem up? We're going to talk with John Heyman, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. He's going to be joining us coming up here next. We're also going to discuss with him the NL Central, the Milwaukee Brewers, the upcoming season. There's a lot to chat about. So John Heyman, he's going to be joining us coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You start pulling your car into the garage, and or maybe you're walking around down in the basement because you're doing things indoors now, and you're going, man, this floor is dirty, socks are all filthy, and you want to get it done. Hey, our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, Sean and the gang can do it all the way down to 20 below zero. So don't think this time of year they can't come in and get your house done. Epoxy Flooring Done Right, they provide Wisconsin home and business owners with epoxy flooring coatings, also polyurea coatings. From Green Bay to Milwaukee to Racine and everywhere in between, they even paint, they have colors, they have finishes, they can do whatever it is you need them to do. And they do it with all a lifetime warranty. It's fantastic. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com or call my buddy Sean, 262-443-2852. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com or call Sean, 262-443-2852. Also, if you're looking to take a load off our friends at Saz's, baby barbecue back ribs, pork sandwiches, combo platters, whatever it happens to be in the restaurant. They've got the great big new patio outside the restaurant that they'll open up come spring. Plus, their hospitality group is awesome, whether it's tailgates, picnics, it's a natural fit, of course. Saz's expertise, it runs the gamut from corporate lunch meetings to 25 to six-course fundraising galas for 500. Saz's can do it all. Go to Saz's, Saz.com, Saz's.com, and make sure you tell them we sent you. We bring in now our Radio.com MLB insider, John Heyman, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter van from Mercedes-Benz Vans. John, how you doing?
I'm good. It's a little cool here in Miami. Dipped down into the 50s the other day, but we're bundling up here.
We'll see you in about 48 hours. And I heard it's supposed to go back up into the 70s, so I'm happy about that.
All right. Very nice. That's the plan. How are things there in Glendale and Hills Corners?
Well, we are right now experiencing a little bit of light snow. It's about 30 degrees, so it's, you know, it could be worse. I look at it this way. This time last year, we're talking polar vortex and 50 below, so it could be worse by all means.
Hey,
so let's start.
Celebrate.
Absolutely. Let's start with the scandal. How much is baseball now closed this book and they say it's done, it's over with, we're done with the investigation, or is there more to come?
They're done. I mean, unless something explosive comes up, they did a pretty extensive investigation, interviewed 68 people, and gave immunity to the players, and I think got to the bottom of it, and came down pretty hard on the executives and the management, and they're hoping that it will provide a deterrent and nobody's going to do something like this in the future. We don't know, of course. We've had some tough penalties in the past occasionally, and obviously didn't prevent this scandal.
If the players were insistent upon this, why did the players not receive more discipline?
Well, I believe, not only believe, I know that they received immunity for telling the truth and opening up, and apparently they were very forthcoming. The reason that happens is the union has the power to say no to the players, don't cooperate. And MLB felt that it needed the cooperation of the players in this case, and so they traded the immunity for the candor, and you know, they got to the bottom of it. They know who's responsible. Obviously, Carlos Beltran was the only player mentioned, but no player was punished, although Beltran ended up being relieved of his duties as the Mets manager. So in a way, he was punished, but not by MLB.
So now we move forward. Everybody assumes there's a clean slate. We're not going to hear garbage can banging or horns tweeting or anything like that anymore. So we figure the season's ready to roll. I want to get into the NL Central a little bit because Cincinnati made some moves. I mean, they are pushing a lot of chips to the middle of the table, picking up Moustakas, what they already have in a good pitching staff. Last year, they picked up Lee Tunnell and Derek Johnson, and they feel that that really gave them a huge boost when it came to their rotation. They feel like they're ready to fly. Are they in the NL Central?
They look pretty good to me on paper, and there's a division there without a 100-game winner. I don't think there's a powerhouse in that division. Cubs have not been aggressive. The Brewers have not been aggressive. The Cardinals lost Ozuna, though I think they're doing okay. You know, the Reds have made a major steps. They're you're right about the rotation. It was much better with a new pitching regime, and they've upgraded the offense thanks to Moustakas and some other moves that they've made, and I think they're a player in that division.
I still think that the Cubs are banking on the fact that they're going to get big years from Rizzo and Bryant and Baez, and Schwarber is going to continue to hit. And but I also think that they're on the verge of making a bigger deal and maybe starting to kind of change the face of this franchise and what they've been able to accomplish. Do you think that the Cubs are ready to fly with the change in management, or that we're looking at the beginning of the end of what everybody thought was going to be a 7, 8, 9 year run?
Well, I think right now they're waiting to see what the resolution of the Bryant grievance is, whether he has 2 years to go before free agency or one. You know, it's obviously he made that case that there was surface time manipulation in his rookie year and that he should be a free agent after this coming season. You know, a lot of people think that the Cubs have a good chance to prevail in that. And if they do, he's got 2 years to go, and then he's got a trade market. And it looked to me like he was more likely to be traded than Lindor or Betts or somebody else of that ilk. But I'm not convinced they're going to do it because, you know, I think they have a chance to win. I mean, it's not like a case with the Marlins last year where they had Real Muto and they weren't really playing to win in 2019. I still think the Cubs feel like they underachieved. They certainly imploded at the end of the year. And if they come back with a similar team, that they've got a shot in the division where we don't think that there is a powerhouse at this point. So I'm not convinced that they're going to trade, but I've thought all along, if someone, a star is going to be traded, it's more likely to be Bryant than a Lindor or Betts.
Meanwhile, in our own backyard, the Brewers, like you said, they haven't made major moves. We were kind of thinking that, you know, you get Christian Yelich back from the kneecap, you hope Lorenzo Cain has a better year this year. You still got another year of Ryan Braun to go, and he's had a pretty successful, you know, time of it. Narvaez, they pick him up and put him behind the plate. It seemed like things were kind of trending in the right direction. It just, they never went out and got that big name pitcher. Lindholm or Lindblom is the guy. They've got Brett Anderson, Eric Lauer they pick up. So where are the Brewers in this mix right now? And do you think they make another move before, you know, we get through, you know, spring training?
Yeah, I'm just not sure what that move would be. I would say yes, but there are not starting pitchers out there, certainly not in the free agent market, that are really going to make a dent. And in terms of trade, we haven't heard much buzz about trading of starting pitchers. You know, you've heard some names, Robbie Ray and a few others, but, you know, I don't see a trade coming of a great starting pitcher. So they've been operating this way for a while in terms of the rotation without going out and spending big bucks on a starter, and they have, I don't want to say gotten away with it, they have thrived. I've been a little surprised. I thought they needed to get a more established starter, but the moves that they have made have generally paid off. Obviously, Yelich was a fantastic move, and, you know, the team has been a playoff entrant, and last couple of years brought a lot of excitement to Milwaukee, and, you know, they've got a shot again. I will say this, they have behaved like a small market team this winter. I like Avisail Garcia. I think that's a nice plus. It didn't seem like outfield was their real need. I like some of the players they've acquired in trade, but, you know, on paper, at least, they look like they are no better than they were last year, and perhaps a little bit worse.
Talking with John Heyman, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider, powered by our good friends, the Insider Calls, the gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. So I wanted to ask you, because there's obviously Arenado's deal is you know, looming out there. A lot of people talk about interest in him. I don't know if the Brewers would be one of them. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like there are a lot of complications to the Arenado deal. As soon as the GM, Jeff Breidich, who's from Milwaukee, announced that he would not be traded, then Arenado came out and said that he wasn't happy with the way things have gone, and he felt disrespected, and that didn't help the trade market for them, because I think everybody kind of figures now that there's kind of a deadline that they need to trade him within 2 years. He's got an opt-out after 2 years, so the way things are going there, it's hard to see him opting in. It would be likely right. For him to opt out, so it feels like there's a trade deadline. It's not immediate, but they've got 2 years. Probably they're on the clock to deal him. I mean, you know, Milwaukee would make sense, except for that's a big contract for Milwaukee. So I think the teams that really make sense are the ones that have been out there, St. Louis, Texas, maybe Atlanta, although they have not really shown a willingness to take on long, big deals either. But I do think he is dissatisfied, and obviously said he was disrespected. I'll say dissatisfied with the way things have gone on, and the no trade, I think, is not a big hurdle at this point. I think St. Louis, he would approve. The Dodgers, I'm sure he would approve. And many of the other teams that look like winners, he would approve.
Hey, I wanted to go back to something you talked about with the Brewers not getting, you know, the big rotational guys, and they've been able to get it done. This year, it's almost like the anti-Craig Counsell rule, because they've been able to manipulate the pitching staff so well that they've been able to get outs without having to go out and spend a ton of money. Now you have to face a minimum. Now you don't get to expand the roster at the end of the season. Can Milwaukee survive without the ability to do it the way they've done it in the past, do you think?
Oh, I think they're always going to figure a way. They're smart guys, and they've played within the rules and figured out how to manipulate and do the right thing to help their team win. And so I don't think that their advantage is going to be taken away. The problem they have is losing Grandal and Moustakas. So their offense is taking a little bit of a step back. I think Garcia is good, and he had a very nice year last year in Tampa, and he will help a bit. But it feels like with the rotation kind of moving in place and the offense moving backward a little bit that, you know, it's not going to be so easy for Milwaukee this year. I will say, as we said, there's no powerhouse in that division. They have done a good job of overachieving and getting the best out of what they have, and full year of Alec Yelich would certainly help. And so, I mean, they certainly have a chance in their division.
Real quick before I let you go, where does Pittsburgh fall in all of this? Is Pittsburgh just naturally bringing up the rear?
Yes, they are. I think that's fair. They've done really almost nothing, and you know, they're in rebuild mode, and they're right now working on trying to trade Starling Marte. They're a very good center fielder, so if anything, they'll get a little bit worse before the season starts. But, yeah, I think the other four teams are contenders all, and Pittsburgh is not.
Awesome stuff, John. Always appreciate it. Hey, our buddy Mitch Rosen says hello as well. And, you know, Mitch is a good guy. And so best of luck to you, and we will be talking a lot down the road. I appreciate it.
All right. Hi to Mitch, and hi to everybody out at the Green 7 there in Glendale, Wisconsin.
There you go. Talk to you soon. John, thanks so much. John Heyman from Radio.com, the Sports MLB Insider, joining us right here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com, the Radio.com Sports MLB Insider, John Heyman. Brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Thanks to him for joining us for a couple of minutes. Don't forget, coming up tonight, 6 to 8, we are going to be on the road. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. Back out at it. We're going to be at the new Berlin Ale House, which is the entertainment center out there in Cleveland, the old Kuglitz's Bowl. Come on by and say, huge place. Big place. Fill it up tonight. Our final Bill Michaels Huddle of the season, the final opportunity to get registered for the big screen TV that we're giving away from ABC Audio Video. Chris and the gang are put that thing in your home prior to the big game. So come on out and get registered, and then in the 7 o'clock hour tonight, we'll be giving it away. So there you have it. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Something John Heyman just said, it really bothered me. And I'll ask if it bothered you when we come back. Plus, he is now a wanted man. We'll tell you what we're talking about. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show, we are back. We are glad you are here. We are brought to you by our good friends at Curly's Waterfront Pub. Don't forget to out there, they have not only bands and such on the weekend, but they do a bunch of ticket giveaways right out there, Lakeview Boulevard, next to Pewaukee Lake. And in the summertime, that's a great deck. You just sit there by the lake, watch people pull the boats in and out. It's beautiful. Get a good cigar or just sit out on the deck and enjoy yourself, whatever it happens to be. Good people out there. Curly's Waterfront Pub, you can find them on Facebook. Go to curlyswaterfrontpub.com and follow them there as well. Always a good place out there in the they have the best chef salad I've ever had. I mean, they used to have a chef salad at Bob Evans years and years and years ago when I was living in Columbus. But my God, this is as close to it as it possibly can get. They got a fabulous, and I know salad's not everybody's thing, but if you're looking for a good salad, that's a great salad. Really good. So, two things. First of all, John Heyman, we just had him on. The radio.com MLB Insider. And John said something that caught my ear when we were asking him about any further moves to be made. This is what he said.
Yeah, I'm just not sure what that move would be. I would say yes, but there are not starting pitchers out there, certainly not in the free agent market, that are really going to make a dent. And in terms of trade, we haven't heard much buzz about trading of starting pitchers. You know, you've heard some names, Robbie Ray and a few others, but... I don't see a trade coming of a great starting pitcher. So they've been operating this way for a while in terms of the rotation without going out and spending big bucks on a starter. And they have, I don't want to say gotten away with it, they have thrived. I've been a little surprised. I thought they needed to get a more established starter, but the moves that they have made have generally paid off. Obviously, Yelich was a fantastic move, and you know, the team has been a playoff entrant, and last couple of years brought a lot of excitement to Milwaukee, and, they've got a shot again. They have behaved like a small market team this winter. I like Avisail Garcia. I think that's a nice plus. It didn't seem like outfield was their real need. I like some of the players they've acquired in trade, but, on paper, at least, they look like they – are no better than they were last year, perhaps a little bit worse.
No better than they were last year and perhaps a little bit worse, but what caught my ear in there, if you caught it, was they have behaved like a small market team. Put those words, etch them in your mind, and we'll fast forward, say, June. We'll fast forward through June. And see where they're at. And if those comments foreshadow what's to come. Going into this offseason, I think many of us expected more. And as he said, they just haven't done a lot. They're behaving, quote, like a small market team. And I understand it because of the market in which we live. But there are times when windows open that you don't throw caution to the wind, but you tend to hedge your bets a little bit more. So that did you hear that as well and go, oh, you know what? That's a dark cloud kind of comment. You know, when he says, I don't think they got better. As a matter of fact, I think they got a little bit worse. They're behaving like a small market team. That is not what this fan base was promised. Just bothers me. 855-830-8648. Hey, one other side note, goofy side note. And we alluded to this. He's a wanted man. Antonio Brown. I said this a while ago that it seemed like Antonio Brown was just kind of losing it. I don't want to make fun of this because I think there's more to it than that. But the free agent wide receiver facing charges of burglary with battery comes from an incident on Tuesday when he refused to pay the driver of a moving, again, a guy refusing to pay the money, delivering his property from California. He threw a rock at the truck as the driver left with the property. Then when the moving company informed the driver to return after Brown then agreed to pay the $4,000 plus an extra $860, Brown refused to pay any more than that and then beat up the driver. And then beat the driver up to where the driver's just kind of laying there and then went in and broke the lock, opened the truck, and took his property out of it. And Glenn Holt, by the way, who was with him, who was kind of his trainer, was also arrested, took the keys, opened the doors of the truck. There's no bond here, but we'll see what happens after Brown is officially arrested and processed. But what is wrong with Antonio Brown? Man. A lot more to go. Stay tuned. Coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.